strength with his framing in the widescreen. So both books are terrific, and as with me, they might really turn you around on John Carpenter's The Thing. Well, thanks for listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland. Film at 11 will be back next Friday. So until then,
I bring you a warning. Every one of you listening to my voice, tell the world, tell this to everybody wherever they are. Watch the skies everywhere. Keep looking. Keep watching the skies.
Has a number of special t-shirts we have created just for you during our month of special programming. Whether you are a metalhead, a punk rocker, a bluegrass fan, or a feminist, we have a t-shirt for you. Wear it proudly in support of KBOO Community Radio. Go to kboo.fm/t-shirts to see all the designs. All proceeds go to support the work of KBOO Community Radio.
And welcome to Arab Voices on Houston's community station, listener-sponsored, commercial-free KPFT 90.1 FM, with live streaming and online archive of previous shows at both kpft.org and arabvoices.net. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. This show is syndicated and it airs on other radio stations in different states in the U.S. Today on Arab Voices, in support of the Asian American community, I will share the remarks and statements from various organizations regarding the increase in discrimination and hate crimes against the Asian American community in the United States. Over the past year, at least 3,800 hate incidents were reported against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders nationwide. That is according to Stop AAPI Hate. AAPI, which you will hear several times during this show today, stands for Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders. The latest was the mass murder in Atlanta that claimed the lives of 8 people. Many communities have been facing discrimination and hate crimes over the years and for too long, right here in the United States, including the Asian American community, the Arab American community, the Muslim American community, the Latino American community, the African American community, the Native American communities, just to name a few. Many attribute the increase over the past year in hate crimes and discrimination against the Asian American community in the United States to former President Donald Trump for labeling COVID-19 virus the China virus. A few days ago, on Saturday, March 20th, 2021, Stop Asian Hate Vigil and Rally was held in downtown Houston, organized by OCA Greater Houston. Hundreds of people attended the event, including representatives from various organizations, as well as several elected officials. I will be airing some of the remarks delivered at that Stop Asian Hate vigil and rally shortly. Several local and national Arab and Muslim American organizations strongly condemned the increase in discrimination and hate crimes against the Asian American community in the United States. The Arab American Cultural and Community Center in Houston issued a statement expressing its heartfelt sorrow over the shootings in Atlanta that claimed the lives of 8 victims. The statement says, quote, "We at the ACC have engaged in a mission to challenge racial and other stereotypes and promote a greater understanding of and friendship with all people in our nation. Attacks against Asian Americans are on the rise in our nation. We stand in unity and grief with our brothers and sisters in the Asian American community. We pray that love and acceptance of others guide people's hearts and minds." Unquote. The Muslim Public Affairs Council demanded in a statement that the hurdles on hate crimes investigations and reporting are removed, and that crimes against the Asian American Pacific Islander community are called what they are, hate crimes. The statement also says, quote, "In light of increased violence against Asian Americans during the COVID pandemic and the senseless slaying of 8 people, 6 of whom are women of Asian origin in Atlanta, we extend our hearts, condolences, and solidarity to the families of those lost and the entire AAPI community. Hate violence of any kind is a stain on our humanity. These incidents are a painful reminder of the divisions in our country and the urgency with which they need to be addressed." Unquote. Salam Al-Marayati, president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, said, quote, "An attack against any one of us is an attack against all of us. Those who continue to promote and perpetuate hate and scapegoating are cowards. They will not come here in the light of the day to say anything. So the more we bring out light, the more we will stamp out this hatred." Unquote. The American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, ADC, issued a statement that says, quote, "ADC stands in solidarity with the Asian American community in the face of heightened anti-Asian discrimination and hate crimes. No group should live in fear of being attacked for their racial and ethnic identities. We call on all communities to examine their anti-Asian biases, stemming partly due to wrongful accusations during the rise of COVID-19. These attacks can only be described as violent at worst and ignorant at best, both of which are equally unacceptable. ADC strongly believes in the rights of everyone to live free of racism and discrimination. Attacks against Asian Americans must be taken seriously and stopped immediately. Harassment, both verbal and physical, against Asian American elders are especially cowardly and must be treated as hate crimes. Holding racist perpetrators accountable for their crimes sends a strong message that hatred of any kind towards any group is not tolerated." Unquote. By the way, ADC, the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, will hold a virtual day of action on Friday, March 26th, to highlight and raise awareness about anti-Asian American hate. More details at www.adc.org. CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and many of its chapters across the nation, issued statements condemning the rise of discrimination and hate crimes against the Asian American community. Let's listen to one of its representatives, Osama Kamel, speaking at a press conference in Sacramento, California, on March 18th.
"Violence against Asian Americans has a long history in this country. The violent sexualization and fetishization of Asian women is part of the consciousness of white supremacy and the long history of imperialism. White supremacy isn't just about race, it's about gender, and it's about class. To eradicate white supremacy, we got to commit to showing up for one another during times of hardship and times of ease, we have to build without the pressure of reacting to catastrophes.
A few days ago, on Saturday, March 20th, 2021, a Stop Asian Hate vigil and rally was held in downtown Houston, hosted by OCA Greater Houston, an organization that works to advance the social, political, and economic well-being of Asian Pacific Americans. Hundreds of people attended the event, including representatives from various organizations, as well as several elected officials. Let's listen now to some of the remarks delivered at that event. The speakers are being introduced by Stephen Wu, community organizer and board member with OCA Greater Houston.
And our next speaker is Audrey Pan, civic engagement organizer from OCA Greater Houston.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. My name is Audrey Pan, and I'm an organizer at OCA Greater Houston. Thank you all for being here physically today and holding this space to honor the lives of those we lost on the evening of March 16th. It has been an incredibly hard week. We witnessed white supremacy in its greatest and most horrific forms with the targeted killing of Asian women workers in Georgia. And I want to be very clear to all that we need to call this moment for truly what it is: white supremacy, anti-Asian racism, sexism, and sexual violence against Asian women. We know that for far too long, this kind of violence has been part of our history and to also other Black, Indigenous, POC community, and this needs to stop. Like all of you, I am devastated, angry, and tired, but we cannot give up. We must continue to speak up, to fight, and to demand for change. At OCA, I have the great pleasure of working with our youth who give me hope and remind me why I continue to organize each and every day. And today I am here to represent students of OCA Advocates Bel Air High School, a student chapter of OCA who regret that they cannot be here in person. Most of them are away on spring break. I will be delivering a statement on behalf of their club leaders, Evie Cao, Vivian Dai, Amelia Ding, and Lucy Ma. Quote, growing up as Asian Americans, we've struggled with our Asian identity in a society that still refuses to see us. We have struggled to embrace our identities as Asian Americans, and for so long, we were reluctant to speak up, and even to some degree, desire to conform to whiteness in order to be accepted in our society. And we've worked hard over the years to love ourselves, to reclaim ourselves, and to embrace our Asian Americanness. But it's still hard, because we continue to face prejudice from those around us, like our classmates and our neighbors who make racist comments. And as a community, we've been gaslit to think of these racist comments as jokes or things to simply brush off. As Asian Americans, we constantly face microaggressions. We've asked members of our club to list some, and here are some common experiences. We've been made fun of because our food looks weird or smells bad. We've been told that we have small eyes. We've been told that we're only smart because we're inherently Asian in order to minimize our accomplishments. We've been mocked for our mother tongues by people saying that our languages sound like Ching Chong Wing Wong. We've been told that we're inherently bad at sports and that we all eat dogs and cats. And we're told that if we're Asian, we can only be Chinese, as if we're some monolith. This list goes on. Though it took us a while, we have learned to not let these microaggressions get to us because we know that they are untrue. Instead, we have chosen to love ourselves and to love our community despite the anger, hatred, and violence directed towards us. We have chosen to embrace our Asianness. It's been even more difficult, though, to embrace it since the start of COVID, which amplified the struggles of Asian Americans. Racist hate crimes and xenophobia have increased dramatically, putting so many of our vulnerable communities at risk. And right now, as students, many of us are shaken up and scared because we know and have family members who work in the service industry and have already been experiencing increased racism at work because of COVID-19. We mourn with the families of the victims, with our Georgia community and with our broader community as the effects of anti-Asian racism are felt across the country by all of us. But during this time of heightened violence, we must come together as a country to fight the root of all this violence around us. We wholeheartedly reject racism, xenophobia, anti-blackness, Islamophobia, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, and other ugly forms of hate that seek to divide our communities. We reject any ideals that fuel paranoia and distrust within and between our communities. We cannot let this violence go on. So please check on your Asian American friends. Please look out for your peers, your family members, and friends, and call them out when they make racist comments. Please stop normalizing hate speech. And please support organizations, activists, and organizers who are constantly working to ensure that Asian Americans have a voice and feel safe in this country. We need to keep fighting as a community so the next generation doesn't have to. End quote. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Audrey. And our next speaker is Ida Penardog from Asians Against Domestic Abuse, who is their advocate and outreach lead.
Hi, my name is Ida Pnada. I'm an advocate at Asian Against Domestic Abuse. Thank you for being here, and thank you for supporting our cause. Since the start of the pandemic, we've seen significant rise in violence against the Asian and Pacific Islander community. This increase in anti-Asian sentiment combined with a history of fetishization Asian women translates directly to the increased domestic violence, sexual assault, and harassment of members of the API community. At the Asian Against Domestic Abuse, we are dedicated to providing language access to members of our community experiencing all forms of violence. Although our main area of work is family violence, if you or someone you know is facing violence and needs accessing linguistically or culturally compliant resources, please reach us out at ADA, Asian Against Domestic Abuse, Houston. We have Japanese, Vietnamese, Chinese, Kazakh, Arabic, and Turkish-speaking advocates and are connected to greater community of Asian and Pacific Islander providers and providing language access. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Ida. Next, we will have speakers from March for Our Lives Houston, Etsy Gulati.
Millions of fear-plagued minds and worried souls, dozens of terrorized loved ones, 8 lifeless bodies, 7 perished women, 6 of Asian descent, 1 white male supremacist, 1 bad day. We, as community members, have gathered here this evening to stand in solidarity against blatant injustice and racism that continues to harm our first responders, our teachers, our sisters, our mothers, our grandparents, our sisters. We, concerned residents of a country renowned for its diversity, have gathered here this evening to commemorate the loss of lives at the hands of a man that was wrongfully humanized by public officials that have justified his action by labeling him as a sex addict at the end of his rope. We, as Asian women, products of hopeful families, have gathered here this evening to show our commitment to fulfilling the dreams of our parents, our grandparents, our ancestors, of providing their children with an environment that will celebrate their differences and foster their growth, not halt it with a gunshot. What happened in Atlanta, Georgia, was a hate crime motivated by misogyny, by racism, and by xenophobia, and it must be addressed and prosecuted as such. We have yet to witness a single major news outlet identify the shooting as a hate crime in their headlines, but news outlets are not the only facilitators of such invalidation. The lewd men who fetishize and sexualize AAPI women and humiliate them into believing that it should be perceived as a compliment are facilitators and perpetrators of this violence. The ignorant folks presiding in their privileged bubble that falsely assume that their sentiments of support towards Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are shared by many are facilitators and perpetrators of this violence. Your peers and your colleagues that have chosen to remain silent, just observing the struggles faced by their coworkers without speaking up, are facilitators and perpetrators of this violence. Now, you may be wondering what you can do or what you can advise such people to accomplish in this fight for racial justice. If you have the monetary ability to donate to the families of the victims or other relevant charitable causes, please, please, please do so. You can also spread awareness, educate those around you, spark and engage in enlightening discussion about gender-based violence against Asian Americans. You can sign petitions supporting the No Hate Bill and the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act that were recently brought up in Congress that support the vital data collection on crimes against Asian Americans and the accessibility to medical services, respectively. You can urge those with authority to take a step in the right direction by funding our communities, diversifying what is learned in the classroom, and disabling violence stemming from white supremacy through gun violence prevention. In fact, the last few actions I mentioned don't cost a dime. They only require a few minutes of your time, and a few minutes of your time could decide the future of multiple lifelines. So I hope you leave this event with a burning fire for change, and that it stays ignited through every stage, not just when a headline emerges, only to be forgotten the next day.
Next, we'll have Liz Peterson, Assistant Director of Houston Coalition Against Hate.
Thank you so much, Stephen. My name is Liz Peterson, and I am representing Houston Coalition Against Hate, a network of approximately 60 organizations, institutions, and leaders working together to reduce hate and encourage belonging in our city. Among our members are the Chinese Community Center and OCA Greater Houston, and we are grateful for being asked to stand in solidarity with you tonight. Our thoughts and condolences are with the families and communities of the victims involved in the tragic shootings in Atlanta. Houston Coalition Against Hate stands in solidarity with our AAPI siblings in denouncing the increase in hate incidents and hate crimes. Everyone deserves to be safe and protected. No one should have to live in fear for their personal safety. A year ago, almost exactly, we made a joint statement with OCA Greater Houston condemning anti-Asian sentiments, xenophobia, and violence. We are disappointed to find ourselves in the exact same place a year later. These crimes and incidents are absolutely unacceptable, and we must not remain silent. We call on everyone in the Greater Houston area to courageously stand firm with the coalition against all hate, bias, violence, and discrimination in our community and across the United States. As Representative Jean Wu said yesterday at a press conference in Fort Bend County, now is the time for all of us to stand united against racism, united against white supremacy, and united against hate. One way you, each and every one of you here, can do that is by participating in one of our free virtual bystander intervention trainings that we co-created with OCA Greater Houston. The training series is designed to embed the recent uptick in anti-Asian hate and bigotry within the larger context of systemic oppression and white supremacy. Each session offers both practical tips for standing up to racism and a deeper understanding of what generates these attacks. Trainings include both knowledge sharing and scenarios where participants can practice intervention strategies in a variety of settings, in person and online. Our next session is Thursday, April 15th at noon. For more information and to register, please go to www.houstonagainsthate.org/BIT. These trainings are appropriate for everyone high school age and older, anywhere in the world, so please share widely. We're working to add evening and weekend sessions to the schedule, so please stay tuned to our website for updates. And you can see at the back of your program exactly where to sign up and what dates it will be offered. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Next, we'll have Angela Johnson from Texas Organizing Project.
Today I stand here in solidarity for my sisters of color. Domestic violence against women. Six of the women were Asian. Out of respect for the families and the victims, I will not say their names. However, Robert Aaron Long does not get that pass. In a span of 45 minutes, this monster was able to kill 8 people. 6 of them were Asian women. Since the start of the pandemic, hate crimes against Asians have spiked dramatically, with a reported 3,800 incidents of discrimination in the last year. This is according to the Stop AAI, a coalition that tracks harassment against Asians. Published reports immediately after the incident that happened quoted officials as saying it was not a hate crime. I beg to differ. I am a woman of color. Although the victims were predominantly Asian, the official line in the aftermath of the shooting was that it was about sex and not race. I beg to differ. He visited a massage parlor that predominantly Asian people work at. That is a hate crime. Yeah. Police haven't determined that the suspect, well, a white male, specifically targeted our sisters of color. It's hard to separate race from an equation after a spike in anti-Asian violence that started during the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you, Trump. One of the most lucrative strands of racism that exists is giving birth to a unique industry in this country, and it's the massage parlors. Police reform often opposes after incidents the racist misconduct or brutality have focused on addressing those unconscious manifestations of biases. I'm a former law enforcement officer. I have to deal with it all the time. I deal with it as a woman of color, as a biracial woman of color. For example, there's required implicit biases training as a part of consistent decrees and imposes to the root out of discrimination practices in law enforcement agencies. These reforms, while well-intentioned, leave unaddressed an especially harmful form of biases which remain entrenched within law enforcement. Explicit racism supremacists are far-right militant groups that to engage in racially discriminatory behavior towards the public or law enforcement colleagues, to make racism remarks, share them on social media. While it is widely acknowledged that racist officers sustain within the 8 police departments around the country, federal, state, and local governments are doing far too little to proactively identify them, report their behavior to prosecutors who might unwillingly rely on their testimony in criminal cases, or protect the diverse communities they're sworn to uphold. Kim Ogg, have you done nothing to help this situation? We need to hold them accountable.
Yes, I
have. And fewer law enforcement agencies have policies that specifically prohibit affiliating with white supremacy groups. I'm sorry again, I'm a former law enforcement officer and I've yet to see that. We don't want you to suspend that pay. We want you to discharge them with a dishonorable discharge. We don't want them to go to another county to work. We want them to be held accountable. I have that feeling. It is important that we hold not only the people who continuously perpetuate the racism, but the officials who actually give them a tap on the hand. Today, I stand with my sisters of color, black, brown, indigenous. We are women who want respect and who deserve it.
Thank you so much, Angela, for your words. Next, we will have Joseph Say, president of Our Revolution Brazoria.
Good afternoon. So I didn't write anything down. I speak from the heart. And my heart is hurting right now for my community. We, for too long, have allowed white supremacy to control and intimidate us. The first immigration laws in this country were the Chinese Exclusion Act, a pure act of racism. We have been here since the 1800s, and we are ignored and belittled. We let our women be fetishized. I have been at work and watched white men talk about how they're going to the Philippines or Thailand to find a wife. Talking to me like that's acceptable. In my face. What can I do? I can speak out, but then I'll be branded a troublemaker at work. You know what? I don't care about that anymore. We must claim our power. We must refuse racism. We must center the people who were hurt. Asian women were targeted. Why is it that the media immediately thought sex workers when we talked about a massage parlor with Asian women? Think about that. Reject hate. We must march together, side by side, with our Latinx and Black brothers and sisters. Social justice is our work too, and we see it this week. Trump may have been talking about the China virus. We may have had 500,000 dead Americans. That was all the fault of white supremacy that existed way before Trump. And what we will not do today is center a white woman who prosecutes and targets our community. A doctor who is giving leftover coronavirus vaccine to people so it wouldn't go to waste is still facing criminal charges. That is wrong. Stop Asian hate. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Next, we'll have Brandon Mack from Black Lives Matter Houston.
I'm tired of having a bad day. I'm tired of having a bad day because people are not calling a thing a thing. This was hate. This was white supremacy. This is what happens when white supremacy for 4 years goes unchecked. This is what happens when we keep normalizing the devaluation of human life. Let me make this abundantly clear. Black Lives Matter stands in solidarity with our community because this is a problem we are all facing. We are all facing the scourge of white supremacy. We are all facing the scourge of unchecked bias in this country. And until we call a thing, this is gonna keep happening. So I am telling every single elected employee, that is correct. They are not elected officials. They are elected employees. What are you gonna do about it? Because there are too many of us who have died for you to understand that our lives matter and we are tired of it. So Black Lives Matter stands in solidarity with you. We are here with you in this fight and we are going to get accountability because us just having vigils is far too much. And on top of that, I'm tired of allyship. This is an accomplished ship. It is a deeper connection. We are in solidarity. We are in community. We are together. So to every single family member that is here, we are accomplices. We are in this together. This is no longer about us just being allies. We are in this fight together. We are fighting until we collectively get liberation. Let's be in this fight together.
Thank you, Brandon. Now we will move. Our next speaker will be Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee.
Say it with me now. Let us calm the audience. We have lost our sisters and brothers. This is both a vigil but a call to action. So if you would, say with me, I will stand. Cannot hear you. For hate no more. Can't hear you. I will stand. For hate no more. I will stand for hate no more. And when white racism shows me its face, when white racism shows me its face, I will look it in the eye and say, no more. I will look it in the eye and say, no more. Let me thank the OCA for bringing us together. My colleagues, Congressman Green and Garcia, we work together in tandem, for our spirits are the same. To our district attorney, to our state representative, to the powerful voices that we work for, I have no shame to say that I am a servant. And so in the words of my colleague, the Honorable Congresswoman Ming, I will not have my voice silenced. And if it is necessary to use the power of the United States Congress, let me say to you that in Atlanta, when 8 people were killed and 6 were my sisters who were Asian, a hate crime was perpetrated. The violence of hate crime need not be decided. It has been decided. Hate was the purpose of that crime. Let me acknowledge Black Lives Matter here. I know that brothers and sisters from the Hispanic community are here. I know that African Americans are here. I know that Anglos are here. I know that Asians, Southeast Asians are here. That is why this message is an important one. I want to thank Chief Finner for being here. I want to thank Chief Tien for being here, because we all have to learn from each other. So let me just say this. You've heard the number 3,800. But have you heard about the 17-year-old boy that was beat up in his high school, Asian young boy, and sent to the emergency room because they said he was spreading the COVID-19 virus? Or the 81-year-old woman that was beat up and then burned because she was an Asian woman? Or in fact, the boy and his father chased into the subway of New York and hit into the head. You see, we can't look at 3,800 and see it as a number. It is human beings. And so I am a strong supporter and co-sponsor of the COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act. And for domestic violence, the bill that I authored and we passed just this week, we put in their language to deal with Asian community and domestic violence and guns, dealing with those who are victims. But we're not finished. Because until we stamp out hate in this land, until, as someone says, that racism is no more, hate crime is no more, then we have not finished our job. So I come here today, yes, in solidarity, but I'm not an inactive supporter. I will march with you, but I will fight for you, and we will pass legislation that will change the course of America. And so as the chairwoman of the Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security, we are going to write a hate crimes law. I heard somebody said, not laws, but you know what? As you change the laws, you'll work on the heart. We're going to write a hate crimes law that addresses the broader community, those who they thought could never step in the way of hate, like the Asian community, and make sure that those who penalize, those who come to think that they can take lightly this community, will, in a way of justice, be held accountable. In the way of justice, be held accountable. And so I conclude my remarks that we should not be silenced, cannot take our voice away, and we cannot sit in a hearing room and talk about getting a lot of rope in an oak tree, because all of us must stand against the hatefulness of every single group that is facing the face of white racism. And our brothers and sisters who are Caucasian or Anglo, who are white, the unity of all of you against the anger of those who do not represent all of us is welcome and is needed. So let me thank you so very much for your presence here. This is a humble and very special time. This is a time that we are mourning, but we are committed. There's nothing wrong with marching. There's nothing wrong with speaking. But when we leave here, each of us must go to our place where we can be change agents, and we must change in the name of the power of the people. Because hate, no more. White racism, no more. and we will face it in a way that we will embrace all of our brothers and sisters. And I believe that the insurrection on January 6th will be turned around, that it will be the victory of the people. America will ride into the new sunlight, and we will all be free someday, not singing the song "We Shall Overcome," but singing the song "We Have." We have overcome. Hate no more. White racism no more.
Thank you, Congresswoman Jackson Lee. Next, we will have Congressman Al Green.
Thank you for your assistance. Hate is a national problem, and a national problem requires a national response. This is why in every city, in every hamlet, in every town, in every county, every member of the elected bodies must go on record opposing what happened in Georgia. Every member must decide here and now that they will confront hate. This is our job. I'm your employee, and I will take a resolution to the Congress of the United States of America denouncing the hate that we have suffered. Hate must be confronted. But we have to tell the truth. It's time to tell the hard truth. The truth is, when we did not impeach Donald Trump for his hate, we allowed him to be above the law. He became an example for other bigots. We cannot allow bigotry to continue. Every bigot has to be prosecuted in this country for his bigotry. Every bigot. We can't allow you to say Kong flu and get away with it. You can't be allowed to equate a virus with people. People deserve respect, and every person in this audience deserves respect. But more importantly, every woman in a massage parlor deserves respect. We have to protect them. Those are lawful businesses, and every woman must be protected. Every woman. This is why Congresswoman Lee, this is why Congresswoman Fletcher, this is why Congresswoman Garcia, and of course our district attorney, Og, this is why I am going to a massage parlor. I'm not going to allow lawful businesses to be demeaned in any way. I am going to go, and I am going to be an example of how we must respect people who have lawful businesses. If you find that funny, it's something wrong with you, not with me, for going. Yeah. And finally this. I have lived long enough now to know that we have a responsibility to make real these great and noble American ideals. We are the we and we the people. We are the we. We are the persons who pledge allegiance to the flag and ask for liberty and justice for all. That has to include the families of those women who have lost their lives. And if we allow this to be siloed and allow this to become an incident that involves only Asians, we the people have made a mistake. Because it's not just about Asians. We can't silo these problems, because if we do, we silo the solutions. We have got to merge these problems and make sure that what we want for those Asian women in terms of justice is the same thing we want for George Floyd in terms of justice. All people who are suffering deserve the same amount of justice. This is not about just one group of people. It's about people of color who have been suffering in this country too long. I sincerely love you, but I sincerely believe that if I don't stand with you, I am standing against you. Dr. King said that at some point, silence becomes betrayal. silence becomes betrayal. Those who stand silent, those who tolerate hate, perpetuate hate. Silence cannot be tolerated in this fight against injustice. Every person must stand up. Every person must speak out. Every person has to decide that it is better to stand alone than not stand at all. We must stand together. We must unite. We must become one. We must fight this hate together. This is our calling. This is our mission. Let's stand together. Let's fight together. Let's make hate our enemy number one in the United States of America. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Al Green. Next, we will have Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia speak.
Thank you. I want to first start by thanking every single one of you for being here today. This is the first step in the day of action, because not only are we here to lift up the families of those that were lost in Georgia, but we are here to take action. So thank you for being here today, because that is the first step. I also want to thank Mother Nature. She's definitely on our side, because she's here with sunshine and such a beautiful day for us to reflect and to join their hands together to take this fight on. You know, it's really, really sad when someone suggests that this guy, this bad actor, did what he did because he was a sex addict. I have a better word for him, and it's right over there in one of the signs. It says racism. Racism. Will you agree that that's a better name for him, a racist? Or you don't like that name? What about hater? Isn't that a better name? Because he could not have got done what he did without a lot of hate in his heart. And this whole idea that, well, it can't be because it wasn't racial, it was about sex, and they were, after all, just women. Because you can't separate them. Hate is not just about race. It's about hate against trans people. It's hate against Latinos and immigrants. It's hate against women. It's hate against gays. It's hate about anybody who doesn't look like you, because that's how white supremacists think. So that's a better name for him, isn't it? So I think we need to really call it what it is. And in my mind, unless something else comes up that I haven't seen, this was a hate crime. And as was said by speakers before me, hate crimes against Asians have skyrocketed since the pandemic. And it did start with the rhetoric coming out of the White House. Now, the guy at the White House is gone. Now, our job is to hang together, hold hands together, and get the hate and the racism out of this country. It's maybe out of the White House, but it still ain't out of the country. So we need to take the next step. And I can tell you, I sit on the Judiciary Committee, so does Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. We had a hearing just this week, 2 days ago, on the rising hate against Asian Americans. We've already had a hearing. We've heard from all the women of Congress that are Asian American. We're going to take up Grace Meng's bill from New York. We're going to take up Judy Hsu from California. So we are already preparing for action in the Congress. The question is, are you all ready for action? Yeah. You've got to do more also. You've got to start calling, especially now, our senators from Texas. Because we got to make sure that once we get it done in the House, that when it goes to the Senate, that they too take action. So please, pledge today that you will do your part. You're here today, and again, I thank you. But we've got to move on to the next step and continue with this action and stop hate against Asian Americans. We must stop it now, not just for our children, but our grandchildren, and for all children to be able to know that this is a country based on the value of love. Thank you all very much for being here. Keep fighting.
Thank you so much, Congresswoman Sylvia Garcia. Next, we will have Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for including me in today's program, for inviting me to be part of this incredible event this afternoon. As I look around, I am inspired by what I see. And I am so grateful to the organizations, to the speakers, to the activists, to the people who are here standing in solidarity with our AAPI neighbors here in Houston and across the country. And that is why I am here. I have the privilege of representing so many members of our AAPI community in the Congress with my colleagues, Sheila Jackson Lee, Al Green, and Sylvia Garcia, all of whom are incredible partners for justice, for our community, and for people across the country. And what I can tell you is that commitment is felt by everyone in our delegation, as you've seen today. Now, I am the newest elected member of this delegation, and I put my name on the ballot for the first time in 2018 because I saw what we are all seeing, a rise of intolerance and bigotry and hatred and a country that didn't look like the one that we want to see. And what I realized is we can all do something about it. So I want to echo the words of my colleague, Sylvia Garcia. We are ready in Washington. We are passing legislation. We are doing things. But it is important, it is essential for you to realize that you are to be heard. We are listening, and you need to make your voices heard, and that's what you're doing today. There's a clear message from this community that we will all take back to Washington to work to stop AAPI hate, to stop bigotry and racism and anti-Semitism and the rise of hatred that we have seen become normalized and justified in our society, which has been with us for generations, but which we are seeing so frequently right now. And we all are the ones who can change it. We are the ones who will change it. And that's what I've learned in the time that I've had the privilege of representing this community, that we are our government. We are the people. And when we speak, we can make anything happen. So today I'm privileged and proud to stand in solidarity, to speak, although all of our hearts are heavy, and my thoughts are with the families and friends of the victims in Georgia, but also in everyone who's carrying the fear that we see across our community and across the country. Our colleague Grace Ming spoke up in a hearing just this week that Congresswoman Jackson Lee referred to, and she said so beautifully, "You are not going to take our voices. You are not going to take our message away from us," to a colleague who was trying to change the conversation. And I think it's so important for all of us to know we need to repeat this message, we need to share this message with one another, and that we are listening and we will take this message to Washington and work together with our colleagues to pass laws that make change and to come home and be a part of this community. And I'm so honored and proud to represent the most diverse community in the country. That's who we are, and we know that our community is what our entire country can look like if we all stand together, if we all work together. And I know we can and we will. So thank you all for being here tonight, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be part of this program.
Thank you, Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher. Next, we will have Texas Representative Gene Wu.
Thank you so much. My name is Gene Wu, and along with Representative Huber Vo, we're one of the few Asian American electeds across the state. And I'm really happy to see the diversity and all the different communities who are here to stand up with our community in this time of grief. But I'm really sad to be here. I'm sad to be here because we're having another visual for another mass shooting. I'm sad to be here because this is now my community. I'm sad to be here because this thing was entirely predictable. I'm sad to be here because we have asked elected officials and public leaders to change their rhetoric, to change their language, to change the words that they use, because it spreads hate. I'm sad to be here because we've asked people like Donald Trump, like Ted Cruz, like John Cornyn, like Chip Roy, like so many others, that every time you use the terms Kung Flu and China virus and all these terms that they know are derogatory, are they know point the finger at Asian Americans who have nothing to do with what happens in the rest of the world. And we know that they know better, but they did it anyways, because our community is an easy scapegoat, because we don't have a voice to speak up. And I'm sad to be here because I don't think the rest of the nation acknowledges this for what it is. Because there's people out there who say that, oh, this guy, he had a problem and he was just trying to take care of a problem. It really wasn't about race. Well, guess what? There was a man who walked into a church and executed 9 black people while they were praying to take care of his problem. There was a man who walked into a synagogue and executed 11 Jewish people to take care of a problem. There was a man in Texas who drove hundreds of miles to a Walmart and executed 22 people to take care of a problem. I'm sad because the failure to recognize this as racism, as an act of bigotry itself, is racism. And I'm sad because I think some of this, I feel like, starts with our own community. And this is to my parents. This is to maybe some of the parents out there who, when we ask them, would you stand up for the black community? Would you stand up for the Hispanic community? Would you stand up for the Jews, the Muslims, the GLBT, who have been subjected to hate, who have been subjected to violence? And they say, no, no, no. We're the good minority. We're the model minority. We are protected because we keep our mouth shut, because we don't speak up, because we just work hard. And the racists, the bigots, they will leave us alone if we just keep silent. And I am here to tell all of you, to my parents, to the parents, Asian parents everywhere, anyone who would say we're protected because we're the model minority, you were protected because your time wasn't up yet, because your number wasn't up yet. And now you have seen that our number is up just as well. And what we need to do going forward is to be united. To be united with all our brothers and sisters. To be united with the African American community, the Hispanic community, to all minority communities who have suffered in this nation. Because only together can we combat, can we fight against the racists, the bigots, the white supremacists.
And only together can we undo 4 years of hate. And only together will we truly make this one nation under God with justice for all.
What you just heard were some of the remarks delivered by elected officials and representatives of organizations at the Stop Asian Hate Vigil and Rally held in Houston on March 20th, 2021. I'd like to share a couple of websites for more information, and those are www.ocahouston.org and www.stopaapihate.org. And that does it for the show today. Thanks for listening. This is Saeed, executive producer and host of Arab Voices. Until we meet next week, peace on earth.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.